And start again. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 9, might be episode 10 of the South Coast Bro Golf Show. I've got good news and bad news about the show. The bad news is that this might actually be the last golf South Coast. What am I called? What's it called, Harry? What's the show called?
I don't even know.
The South Coast Pro Golf Show is now going to be moved slightly into a new direction with my pal here. So before he was a guest, now he's a feature of the show.
We've made it in. We've made the cut, Davis.
Yeah, you're in. Yeah, yeah. So this is no longer the South Coast Pro Golf Show. We're going to have to call it something else. So it's going to have to be called something... We haven't thought about this, have we?
We haven't. we'll have to pull it to the vote.
We'll get to that, but welcome to the show that's now your show, Harry.
It's not my show.
It's our show.
David Bartlett, the golf professional, PGA.
It's been a while since we've done anything, because a lot of stuff's happened over the last couple of months or so.
And the rest. And when was our last one?
Well, I don't know. It was back in...
It was a long time ago.
April? Yeah. Something like that.
Start of the year.
A lot of stuff's happened since then, so me and Harry have teamed up... in the new South Coast Golf Hub. Maybe that'll be the name of the show. Something like that.
We'll add Hub in somewhere.
Yeah, we'll add Hub in something.
If in doubt, add Hub.
How's it been going, man? I haven't seen you for ages because you've been away on holiday and doing all sorts of fun stuff while I've been here grinding, teaching golf.
Well, this is it. Now you're in here working for myself. You're doing the work.
Working for you? I thought you were working for me, man.
No, it's a pleasure to have you on board here. And obviously,
I'm so excited.
Through with what's been happening. But yes, I've been in Morocco. I've been at the BMW. So it's been a busy 5 days, 6 days.
Yeah. Let's talk about the BMW. It's a decent event, isn't it? I've never been to the BMW at Wentworth, but... You went to the, what do you call it, the charity?
I was at the Pro-Am yesterday. I go to the Pro-Am every Wednesday. I'm back there again on Saturday for the main event, I suppose, in the concert.
Why are you there? What are you doing? Are you playing or what?
Oh, I wish I was playing. It'd be great. I think that's the number one. If I had an opportunity to play any round of golf, it'd be the Wednesday Pro-Am at Wentworth. Mm. That would be it. I'd play that over the Masters. It's weird.
You've got so good at golf recently. What's happened? Like, you won that event and all of a sudden you're just like, you're unreal. I'm seeing all these silly scores of 7 and 6 under par and you can putt and you can do all sorts. Like, what's going on? Like,
it's just happened. I mean, I'll give you the credit. We had a 5-minute putting lesson, didn't we? I don't think it was 5 minutes. I reckon we had about 90 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't need much.
And
did it?
You had a quick look and you made a tweak and we went back to the putter that I used 14 years ago that was collecting dust in the shed. Mm.
Now that you're good at golf, it would be great if you could play in that event next year. That'd be good, wouldn't it? I think you've got celebrity status now, so you could maybe potentially... How would you feel on the first tee of that event?
I'd love it.
Would you?
I'd love it. Yeah, it'd be great.
I'd brick it.
I'm
a relatively confident guy with golf, but I think... I've been at the Open, and every year I go coaching at the Open. I used to try and qualify for the Open. Every time I look at that first tee and that massive grandstand and a lot of people there, I'd be like, oh my god, I'm so glad I don't qualify for this. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Do you know, I think
you'd be all right. Yeah,
I think so. I had the chat with my dad yesterday. We were walking around the pro. I said, oh, would you be nervous if you played? And there's nerves come into golf differently, you know. I think the amateurs get so nervous on the first tee. And I don't know why. I mean, I know you can't stop nerves, but my nerves would come if I'm coming to the final stretch, two or three holes, so you can have a chance. Okay. Here I think that's when things tense up. The first shot is a strange one for me. I think everyone, they don't like being watched there in the first and coming through. I don't know, I think I'd love the atmosphere and environment, people were there.
If you get on that first tee and think about, okay, this is an opportunity, I've either an opportunity to impress or showcase. Mm. Like, some of the best shots that I've ever hit have been my first shots, but also some of the worst shots have been my first shots. I think it really depends on your expectation level. What would you, to try and add some value to anybody listening, what would you... say is a good bit of advice to somebody who struggles with nerves on the first tee?
I mean, there's lots to it, isn't there? It's the honest truth is just focus on the shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it works. Everyone's different, but I like the atmosphere and the bit of banter with your mates of, don't hit it here, don't hit it there. But I know that's what throws golfers off.
Yeah.
They panic in that situation. It's a normal golf shot. Normally we hit driver off the first, any golf course, just whack it.
Our trip last year to La Manga was great. We had 30-odd people just under on the first tee, and then obviously one group's got to go off first and everybody's watching, and then a couple of those tee shots with some fairly confident, competent golfers. Oh my God, there was a couple of shockers there, wasn't there?
I think the best one must have been the last day. Yeah, I think someone hit it backwards.
Someone hit it backwards.
And yeah, I think the few too many beers didn't favour the...
Could have influenced that.
Yeah, definitely.
My bit of advice to someone on the first hole is obviously they're very much focusing on what they don't want from the round, so they're happy just to take anything, so they get quicker. And I think the transition between backswing and downswing is generally fast for people that don't perform well early on in the round because they want to get it over with. So my advice would be, if you're going to hit it, let's go out, let's go all in. Make sure you complete the backswing before you start down, because most people are very, very quick. Have you seen that film, The Mask of Zorro? Do you know what I mean? It's just like that. Wild. Wild in speed in terms of like the transition. Okay, so did you see any golfers at the BMW where you thought, this guy's going to be good this week? Have you got any tips for who you think might do well this week?
We watched the pro-am, so not all the pros play. They had a very strong field in the morning, which we caught the second half of. Obviously, your McIlroy's there, your John Rahm's there, your Tommy Fleetwood's. There's a few, obviously, Ryder Cup boys, obviously, they're playing, so they're obviously the strong ones. I find that the BMW at Wentworth, it's never the main guys that play well there. Obviously, there's a strong field, I think, because the Ryder Cup's coming, so I think they're trying to keep the competitive golf going with the season finished. It'll be an underdog, I think, in my opinion, there always is. Obviously, Shane Lowry won it last year, he's there again. Mm-hmm. But I think they're there just for more of a deep, to kind of take the cobwebs off the clubs and keep going. I don't have anyone, I'll be honest, because you never know. No. The format in the program is a bit strange as well. It's birdies only count. Okay. So it's kind of all or nothing. It's net
birdies. So they're very differently, aren't they, for the sake of that anyway?
The tee shots, you choose your best tee shot. Mm. So it could be the pros. And then you play your own ball from there, but birdies only. So the pros are just whacking it around and having a laugh, really.
Yeah.
It's up in the air with who I fancy.
Obviously, I went to the Open, so I watched a little bit, doing a bit of coaching. I went to the Ladies Open as well, and then a few people have asked me, who's looking good? Who's looking good? Do you know what? They all look good. Everyone's so good.
Yeah.
Everyone is so, so good at golf. In terms of ball striking, it's so hard, isn't it? It's just all on that week, isn't it? A couple of good bounces, a few putts going in.
All down to putting.
Isn't it?
You start rolling the ball well.
Statistically, how much somebody's so much better from, say, 6 feet than they are from 10 feet. And that's such small mind, you're 18 greens, great. You might have actually just shot level par.
Yeah.
Like if you're sort of 15 feet away, so that's, you think, well, that's a good ball striking round, just not good enough. Whereas you have a bogey or a double bogey in there, but you've had 7 birdies, happy days. That's you.
That's me at the moment. It's role reverse,
isn't
it?
You're a birdie machine.
I'm normally a
guess who's a birdie machine right now? I'm actually really good at golf again.
There we go. We've got a match
golf the other day. I played golf the other day. Shout out to my brother-in-law. He invited me to this golf day. Nearest the line competition. Have you played in the nearest the line competition?
Yeah, I've seen the nearest the line. Was it a straight line or was it one of those
straight
squiggly
line
lines?
Well, it was a dog leg par 5 and it starts to dog leg at about 320 yards. And I knocked it past the line.
You're big now, Dave, aren't you?
Huge. Should do a little bit of an update on my little Project 300 thing. So I'm trying to hit it 300 yards. I've been doing a lot of training, doing a lot of stuff on that. I'm going to make a video on it. But I'm trying to get more speed, more power. And then generally, like in terms of my golf and stuff, like my irons are pretty good. I've been crap with the driver, but I'm getting there. I've been working on quite a lot of stuff with my technique to try and get a little bit more power. And I played the other day and I hit some very good drives.
Good.
And pretty straight. So I'm keen to start playing again. Ego's taken over.
There you go.
I want to play in a BMW. I want to start winning some stuff.
Yeah, we'll enter a team, shall we?
Sunningdale Foursomes next year.
Sunningdale Foursomes.
Fancy that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll make the application. We need celebrity status for that now.
You have that.
We're almost there. Well, we got TP Tour, they do the pairs. That's where we first played our event, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that a few years back.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a stinker.
Yeah,
there,
that wasn't
we?
Great.
We didn't like golf then.
No, that was before your win. Okay, so my pick for the BMW, I don't think it's going to be a shock winner. I think it's somebody who's in form. I think Victor Hovland's going to win. Mm-hmm. So he's my pick. And then a little bit nearer the time, we'll pick some winners for the Ryder Cup and stuff as well. But I've got a game for that.
Okay.
I've got a game for that. So I'll get to that game in just a bit. Tell me about Morocco, man. How was that? We're doing a golf trip out there in November. We've got 31 golfers so far. We need one more golfer to complete that trip. You did the inspection trip. Have you ever been to Africa before?
No, I've never been to Africa before.
Did it feel like Africa? Because it felt like Africa.
It was Africa.
Because you can see it from Spain. You can see Morocco from Spain. So it doesn't feel like it's very far away, does it?
Yeah, it's a strange one on paper, isn't it? Because it's in Africa, but it's only 3 hours away.
Oh.
And you think, like, where am I? You're confused. But when you get there, you're in Africa.
Yeah.
You
was
are.
It the point when you were sat on the camel?
I mean, the camel story is great because the camel shouldn't have happened.
Right.
So obviously, anyone that hasn't seen this saw my social media. It was I was on a camel. But we played golf. We had a minibus back. And one of the guys who said, God, can we ride a camel? Mm. Out of nowhere, the driver just pulled over on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Eight camels. Mm. Salesman. that's it. We bartered to ride a camel for 15 minutes, whoa, and that was it. So he told us all about camels, and we had a little 20-minute trip, really ran on a camel. It was nice. Great. It was.
I can tell you something about a camel. You might know this. The dude might have already told you about this.
Okay, but he was a camel expert. Camel.
All right, so he might have told you this already. Like, a camel has the same eye recognition, not like on your iPhone with eye recognition, but like... But it has eye recognition, right? And that and a llama has the same thing. So okay, if you punch a llama or a camel in the face or like that, it will bear a grudge. It won't take action there and then. It will remember you, yeah? So it won't headbutt you or kick you or whatever. It will be like, all right, Harry, I'll remember that. And then if you go back and you see that camel in 10 years, it will recognize your face and then it will take you out. Did you know that? Did the camel dude tell you that?
No, he didn't, but... I don't want to test it either.
No, don't. No. So, poor camel. Lesson learned. Don't
punch a camel.
Don't punch a camel.
There you go.
Yeah.
Although I wasn't actually on an official camel. Our camels only had one hump.
Ah.
Yeah, but they were called something else, but they are known as camels.
Right.
So, yeah.
You don't remember what it's called?
No, it was well confusing. It was a camel.
Yeah.
Like, they were advertised as camels, okay, but he was saying that the two hump camels aren't in Morocco.
So what is it, one and you sit on top of the hump then?
Yeah, you don't quite sit on the top of that, like Humpty Dumpty.
They're really high
up there, but yeah, they're only one, they're a bit like alpaca legs.
Nice.
Yeah, weird.
So what was the golf like out there then?
So yeah, the golf was great. Golf was good. So we weren't in season, which is bizarre, isn't it? You look at September thinking you're not there. I mean, Morocco has an average of 3 days of rain a year. It hasn't rained in 2 years, so very, very interesting. So yeah, the weather's guaranteed, but we weren't there. It was almost too hot for golf weather. It was high 30s, didn't feel it, so everything was a little bit dry. It was a bit bare, so they're heavily watering it. Golf season starts in October, so they're getting the clubhouses ready and the courses ready. Played four courses, complete mixture, some are short, some are long, but what a great venue. Absolutely, for golfers there, you've got everything. If you want it short, go off the front yellow tees. If you want a tall course, we played two that were over 7,500.
Wow.
Off the back tips. So the amount of head covers coming off my golf clubs constantly was a challenge. But no, it was great. Hospitality was fantastic. Courses were great. Layouts were good. Some quirky courses as well. So looking forward to heading there with the guys in November, without a doubt.
I'm looking forward to playing that course with like the square and rectangle greens. It's a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, Noria there. That's obviously the picturesque course of the area, where there's three square greens. Actually, you've got the par three with everything square.
Yeah.
Although our OCD lot like me, the flag wasn't in the middle, so it looked really weird. It was all a bit tucked off, but that's cool. And then the 9th and 18th, we've got two square greens that both run into a lake that runs through the middle. So they're both on a bit of an angle, which was cool. That's definitely the must-play course. It was quite quirky. It wasn't overly difficult, that one. It was pretty short. So for any type of golfer out there, they'd be able to get round with very little trouble. I mean, we can all find trouble, but there's no trees, they're out of bounds. Really, really good. Really cool.
Harry flew out on the day when there was a massive earthquake. So I got a few messages and said, have you seen the news? Because we're organising this golf trip and there's a massive earthquake in Marrakesh. But it was all right, wasn't it?
It was okay. It addressed the situation of, obviously, it looked like we were out there having a fantastic time, which we did, while obviously an earthquake has hit the country. It didn't hit Marrakesh. It hit up in the mountains, which obviously isn't a good thing whatsoever. But it did hit the kind of rural areas that didn't have much money. So that is why a lot of it got wiped out. Marrakesh was running as fine. It did hit, but very minor. Few buildings were cracked, but everything was working and running as usual. Nothing stopped. I think the night of the earthquake, it was a little bit more scary, so we were very lucky we weren't there. I think our hotel was sleeping outside just as a safety measure, and that was more of the fact of the staff didn't know what to do, and they wouldn't know what to do because they'd never had an earthquake before. That's like us in the UK having an earthquake and knowing what to do.
Can you imagine what it'd be like?
We wouldn't know. It'd be a World War III would begin, wouldn't it?
Here. Nightmare, wouldn't it?
It would be a disaster.
We get a little bit of frost on the floor, anything stops, doesn't it? Over here.
Horrible situation. Obviously, thanks a lot for the messages to everyone that did. Unfortunately, you don't get signal out in Morocco. So when I found some Wi-Fi, they all came flooding through. And obviously, because I wasn't replying to any messages, there was a state of panic here at Parley.
People thought you got swallowed by the earthquake.
But no, we're all good. Morocco is okay. Everything we were told was to keep promoting Morocco because they want more golfers there.
It seems like that potential. So, you know, historically, the Costa del Sol, Spain, Portugal has been your go-to destination for golf, hasn't it? For as long as I can remember, with the exception of getting out and playing those courses stateside. And now there's, so Turkey kind of took on that crown for a bit, hasn't it? And that's really, really emerged as a all-inclusive destination where you can play some unbelievable golf courses out there and not pay a fortune. And it's just different, isn't it?
That's
just really different. And I think Morocco could be, well, we'll see what I get out there as well. But based on your sort of feedback on the location, it seems like an exciting place that's going to be just a little bit different to maybe what other golfers have experienced in previous trips.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you the story of why Turkey got so big so quick. We explained when we were out there. But yeah, Morocco is definitely on the rise. Definitely is. It's the all-inclusive resort. Everyone's always asked the question, is it safe? Is it? Can I go out? And the tour guides there do laugh because it's, I wouldn't say it's the safest place in the world, you know, I don't know what it is, but there was no problems whatsoever. Yeah. The hospitality out of Morocco was unbelievable. Mm. You know, Marrakesh runs on, they need tourists, they need Brits. Very heavily French over there because of the language. That they do, the Moroccans do talk French. Mm. It was tourists everywhere. It was great, it was amazing. And obviously the Gulf side is what's developing, but yes, they do need that influx of cash. You know, what Turkey was 15 years ago, a bit bare, but this, and now look at it, it's ginormous. The reason Turkey's so big is the government were funding 50% of all the golf business.
Oh, right.
So for any golf trip, government were matching. Mm. So that's why you could go to Turkey for your £600 all in, because the government paid the other half. Mm. Now all of a sudden Turkey is 18,000 to go, isn't it? It's pretty costly.
Mm.
If you go for an all-inclusive resort, yes, the standards have increased, but the government are no longer paying that.
All right.
So that's why the price has jumped. Morocco's now down in the about £600-700 price bracket, I'd imagine. For a trip, but the government isn't paying that, so they're trying to obviously build it slower in there. So if you do want that cost-effective trip, Morocco's where to go. Give it 10-15 years, Morocco will be unbelievable.
Wow. Like, okay.
But yeah, the golf course, there's so many golf courses out there.
Yeah.
You think of it as like one or two, there's 30 in the area.
I didn't realise they spoke French. I knew they spoke Arabic.
Yeah.
My Arabic's not up to scratch, but my French is pretty good. What's your French like?
My French is terrible. I'm terrible. I can just about speak English.
So I can communicate when we get over there if we get run into any problems, because I can say, bonjour, je m'appelle Dave, j'habite à Bournemouth, je joue au football or tennis de table, je voudrais un demi-kilo de camembert. My name's Dave, I like badminton, I like golf, I play table tennis, and I'd like half a kilo of camembert, please.
Okay.
So that's good.
You're sorted then.
Yeah, so we're good.
Job done. No, they do speak English, obviously everyone does speak English in there, but yeah, look, French is very heavily recognised out there. Which was good.
Nice. Can't wait, buzzing for that trip. November's going to be horrendous over here, and it's going to be chucking it down with rain. Anybody that didn't come sign up to our golf trip on Instagram will be wishing, I wish I'd signed up to that trip.
Yes, so, without a doubt. Yes, we do need one more. So if you're listening and you fancy it, come along. If we can get more the merrier.
Yeah.
We are there, we can do, but 32 is a nice round number for us in the four balls to get out there. We've got a good standard of golfers as well. So we've got, how many pros have we got? One, two. Three, five,
four,
five pros.
Four, five.
Pros. Myself, five. You.
Dan
McCoy. Dan's turning pro.
Yeah.
We have Leah.
And Leah's coming up. We've got Neil.
And Neil.
And
Neil Williams.
But we've also got some high handicap golfers as well.
We do.
We've got some high handicap golfers.
We've got a complete mixture, haven't we? I think we range from plus, I think Dan must be +3, +4.
Yeah.
To, I think we're up to possibly 45, 46 handicappers.
Yeah.
But I think I think the ability of courses matches everyone.
Yeah.
We have different tee boxes. And I've got a good game that we can play out there as well.
So a lot of golf courses doing this ability, little bit ability thing now. Fox Hills, have you seen Fox Hills have changed? They've got no ladies' tees anymore now, so they're, you know, you can play off whatever tees are relevant to your handicap and stuff and what have you. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. They had it on the back of the card, actually. Mm. Morocco and every single one of it was handicap and also how far you hit it.
Yeah.
And then they recommend what tees you play off.
So I hit it 350. So what tees do I play off?
You play in the driving range.
Right. That'd be so interesting because everybody's perception of their distance is just so wildly off, isn't it? I was having a conversation with someone I was teaching earlier on. And basically, everyone hits it further than me. Yeah. And I don't hit bad, but everyone hits it further than I do.
That's it. Ball does go further in Morocco, though.
Does it?
It does.
Warmer?
Warmer and also the height. They're very high up.
Right.
You're trying to tell me. No good science, but all the courses are extremely high, so the ball travels miles, and it really does fly miles.
Mm.
I reckon, you're adding two or three clubs on.
Oh, wow.
Kind of, on your distances, and that driver doesn't come down from the sky. It's amazing.
Still going, isn't it?
It does. Yeah, it's great. So, yes, the courses are pretty long on paper, but the ball does travel a lot further, which is good.
Mm.
So, we have some bombs, David.
So it's time for a new feature. Well, it's not my show anymore, Harry. But
it's always your
show. Is it my show? Oh, okay. So I've got a new feature. This is a fun game. Okay. And the fun game is, and I would argue this is probably, I think it's still going to be good for the podcast. I think this would be quite good in video format, to be fair. But there's a game that you can play at home, right? I invented this the other night at 3 o'clock when I got woken up by the dog. So the dog was barking at 3 o'clock in the morning. And this is when I come up to I invented a training aid at 3 a.m. and also come up with this game. All right. So we've got a scorecard, Harry. And this is Parley Golf Centre.
Okay.
Okay. So not the longest golf course in the world, but it's par 34, yeah. Front nine.
Yes.
Okay. And we're going to go match play, head to head. And I've got a deck of cards.
Okay.
I've got a deck of cards here. And I've got par three cards, which are ranging from numbers 2 to 5.
Okay.
Okay. So if you put a 3 and you've got a par. If I put a 4, it's a bogey. Yeah. You go one up.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I've got par 4 cards, which are ranging from 3 all the way up to 7.
Ooh, yeah, nice.
Yeah. And par 5 cards, which are ranging from 3. So you could get an eagle.
Okay.
All the way up to an 8. You could have a disaster.
Ooh, yeah.
Nice. All right.
I like it.
Okay. So we're going to go hole 1. Here's the cards. Okay. And you're going to pick a card. You can hear them shuffling. All right. Pick that. Oh, what'd you get?
Oh, I've made a 5. I've had a stinker.
Right, Harry, you've got a 5. You're player A, right? Show me the cards. Don't show me the cards. Shuffle the cards. What a game this is. You can play this at home. This is a game at Christmas that you can play.
Good game.
With your friends. Well, I haven't decided if it's a good game yet or not because I thought about it the other night. You're looking at that one there. This one. Oh, it's a 5 as well. No, damn.
Done him.
Okay, so we're all square.
Halved in 5.
All 2s, half 4.
1/3, 1. Good start.
Oh, wait, no, it's par 3. I've done that wrong. There we go.
No one knew you did it wrong, though.
No one did it wrong. Okay, right, here you go.
Oh!
Got Harry's 3. Pulled a 3.
Made my 3.
Out of the hat. Okay. Okay, pick one to me. What a game.
I've got 5. So back to back.
I'm literally 2 over, so I'm 1 down. Okay, right, next one, hole 3. So what you do now, is if you want to play this at home, you go to your par 4 pack, right? This is stroke index 15 at Parley. It's 255 yards. That's very drivable. Hence, you could make an eagle here, Harry.
Is there a 2 in the pack?
Right card. There is a 2 in the
pack.
Oh, and he's got it!
I pulled it.
He's got it. Wow, you're flying. Okay, right, pick one for me. Put the eagle back in there.
Nah, the eagle's not going in.
Right. Oh.
It is. It's in there. Don't you worry.
Okay, so Harry's 1 up. I'm going to pick that one. He's not letting go of it. Oh, I got the 2 as well. Yes, get in there. You're still plus 1. Okay, next hole's a par 5. Right, so you can make an eagle here. Or an 8. Or an 8.
Snowman.
You can make an 8. But also we're going to add up the medal score at the end as well.
Cool.
Oh, it's a 7.
Stinker.
That is a stinker. You got 7. That's a plus 2 for that hole. I'm feeling like I might get one back here.
I think you're running
out of holes big time. Any time today?
Okay, here we go.
I'm going to go for that one.
Oh,
it's a 3!
Pulled it out there.
3, back to level. Okay, next hole's par 4. We're on the 5th at Parley, and it's 306 yards, drivable. That's a 5.
Three of the two.
Okay, here we go. What a game. Pick that one.
Oh, you're doing well.
Oh, it's a 2 on a par 5. I'm flying. Plus 1. 1 up. Okay, right. Next hole, par 3. No one knew that. What's that up? 1, 5, 3. Yeah?
Is that hole in 1 involved? Oh, no, we're on the bogey cards. Made the 4. Disaster. Disaster struck.
When you're on, when it's Christmas Day, right, and you've been drinking
card
all day.
Golf.
And you're not talking to your family and somebody's, you've had a Barney with your mother-in-law and you need to break the ice a little bit, bring the cards out and play this game. This is great, isn't it?
It's a good game. It's good.
It's a 3.
It's a 3. Made 3.
I'm 2 up. We're 3 to play.
3 to play. This is it. Is the comeback coming on or not?
Par 4.
Probably not.
Stroke index 3. 359 yards. That's a 5.
I think we're out.
That's a bogey.
I think we're done.
Come on.
Dear.
could be game over.
This is it for the win.
Oh, it's a two. Oh, it's a four, sorry. Three up.
Dave's trying to cheat at card golf.
I'm a winner. Some of you to play with your friends and family on Christmas Day. I'm going to do that with every guest. No one's going to beat me at that.
Yeah, yeah. Can you go?
Do you consider yourself quite a lucky person?
No.
I think you're aware, you've built your own luck out of life, haven't you? You've got a good little thing going on, but I'm quite lucky,
yeah.
And I don't really ever do the lottery, and I feel like if I did it, I might win it.
You should do
that. I sometimes feel that if I did it, and I won it, what am I going to do, though?
Well, you can do whatever you want to do.
I'm quite happy doing what I'm doing, do you know
I don't win anything.
You don't win anything?
No, nothing. No.
No?
No. Scratch cards and football bets and just years of nothing.
Right.
So, yeah. Waste of time.
Well, watch this space.
Yeah,
because I generally like those sorts of things.
When's Euro Millions? That's Saturday night, is it? Wednesday and Saturday. There you go. Saturday night, you're on the lottery.
Okay. We'll be having a different conversation next time. Okay, so we got there's a plane going over. That might not be the first plane. So South Coast Golf Hub is now up and running. My main man Harry Shaw here has done a great little job. We've converted some empty driving range bays at Parley Golf Centre into two additional studios, a club fitting studio which Harry's also teaching out of, and we've got an additional studio at the end for another golf pro who's joined us. Shout out to Natalie Goodall, who she's going to be coaching with us as well at the South Coast Golf Club at Parley Golf Centre. Give us a little overview, Harry, on what's going down.
What have we done, Craig? What's not going down? We've done it. We had this chat in La Manga last November after far too many beers.
Well, wait, hold on. Just to go back a little bit on that. So I hadn't been drinking for nearly 2 years. Like, it was sort of disagreeing with a little bit. So we've got 4 or 5 days of entertaining people, and I felt like I'd kind of had to. So about 6 pints in, and I've not had a beer for anything, Harry's like twisting my arm and saying, come on, you come and work with me, man. Come and work with me.
The idea's blossomed,
isn't it? So it's super, super exciting. So that's kind of how it started. Okay, where are we at now?
Where are we at? So we pulled you from your job, didn't we? We signed the dotted line and we got you. So we are running, the 3 bays we have here. Obviously, we have your clothing brand here. We have mine, which is amazing. So we've got a bit of equipment. The exciting part here is we obviously now have access to a full shop. Obviously, we don't have a physical shop at the moment. That is to come in the future. But we do have a fitting bay with all the brands ticked, confirmed, signed, sealed, delivered, whatever we want to say.
Yeah, nice.
So we're probably ready February, March next year. It'll be fully kitted out. So we've got Shrix and we've got Cobra in, we've got a collection of wedges. Here we have all the golf balls as well, the golf ball fitting, which is exciting. While we're trying to figure out how the net works, we haven't quite got that one yet.
Yeah, because we don't really want people hitting Pro V1s out to the range. Because that's as much as it would be nice to be able to do that, that might not be the most cost-effective way of doing a ball fitting. we do have a net. We've also got a couple of new launch monitors as well, haven't we? So we're doing a bit of that so we can kind of monitor people's progress and things like ball fitting and wedge fitting and stuff as well. It's cool. I've just got this new full swing launch monitor. I'm well impressed with it. I've been hiring about launch monitors for ages, but I've been testing it out this week as it's just arrived, and students seem to love it. So shout out to Full Swing because they've provided a product which is super, super good. So I'm, without being the best golfer in the world, I've got a good idea of how far I hit it. So when I'm feeling certain numbers, those statistics are very consistent with the readings that are coming up on the screen. And also having watched quite a few reviews on it on YouTube as well, where they've compared it to like a Bushnell laser and stuff and what have you. Mm-hmm. The accuracy of that machine is super, super good. So I'm really, really pleased with that. We've got to do a quick review, Harry. Okay.
Yes.
This is a paid ad. If you just go down to that fridge there, just a jiffy. We can take a break for a second now. Under that fridge is, now, what time is it? It's 1:10. And if you listen very carefully, give those a little chink there, Harry. Just give those a little ting together. Oh! Now, we wouldn't ordinarily be having a beer during the day, but this ad is brought to you by Lucky Saint Beer. Lucky Saint Beer is a alternative. You've probably never drunk an alcohol-free beer in your life, Harry, because you're wild.
Oh, I have, actually.
You have?
I had my run, didn't I?
Oh,
I
you did, yeah.
Okay. 6 months of not drinking.
I've tested this already, so I know what it's like. But in previous experience of trying non-alcoholic beer, I have always thought, what am I drinking this for?
There's been a few funky ones.
It's ego, isn't it? It's like everybody else is drinking beer, so you get this, so it looks like you're feeling part of it. But actually, you'd rather drink like dishwater. Yeah. And having tested this before, this is an honest review.
Okay.
This to me tastes like an ordinary kind of beer to me. Now, I quite like this. Most people that listen to this, not to say that our audience is of a particular sort of demographic, but most people could probably do with reining their drinking in a little bit. Okay, so most people are coming in after their day, and then they're going straight to their fridge and they're ignoring their partner and they're saying, how was your day, love? They're going straight to the fridge, right? And they've formulated a habit which is perhaps detrimental to their health. So possibly it might be quite a good idea that they look at a beer like this, if it's any good. So give that a little taste for me.
Yeah, I'll go in. Yeah.
What do you think?
It's a good one.
He smiled.
That's a good idea.
Smiled.
I smiled. Yeah.
It's actually very, very pleasant, isn't it?
That is a good
very,
one.
Very, very pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, there's bad ones out there, but this is a good one.
Yeah, I've had a couple where I've just thought, you know what, yeah, I'd rather not buy them. This is actually very, very nice. And because this is an ad, you can receive £10 off your first order of Lucky Saint beer when you use the promo code DAVE10 at checkout and receive £10 off your first order. Well, that's Lucky Saint beer. Harry?
Like it. I'm on it.
Anything else you want to say before we go?
I think we're there, aren't we? I mean, come down and visit us, I think.
Yeah.
If you're in the local, if you're not in the local, come down. Mm. We've got some exciting things coming, obviously, with fitting days, second-hand workshop days, which we're planning.
Yes.
We have custom fitting, we have golf ball fitting, we have lessons. We are running more golf holidays.
Mm.
We are doing absolutely everything we possibly can here at the Hub. We are building a bit of a community.
Also, your idea long-term is that you want to retire and then retire out and sit on a beach at the age of 40. It seems like you're actually doing more.
I think 35 like is probably the
right
one. Yeah, I think. Okay. No, I'm definitely doing more. I want to get out and about a lot more. Yes, definitely, you know, that's me, that's what I want to do. So the more, you're the man in charge here.
Am I?
Yeah, always. Okay, cool. let's keep doing what we're doing, really. And obviously the next step for us is the Fun in the Sun in November.
Yeah, really. Can't wait for that.
And then we'll bash our heads together, Fun in the Sun, Volume 3.
Volume 3.
Where are we going next year? Vegas?
Oh, how dare you.
Oh, we could build up to a Vegas, couldn't we?
Yeah. Do you know what? I'd love to go to the States. I've never played golf in America. Hey, guess what? Bombshell. I've never been to America.
Well, there you go. We could change
this. Canada. They don't play golf in Canada, do they?
Some golf course.
I think they do, actually. Yeah, I think that's probably a little bit unfair to say that. Yeah, we need a big blowout trip out into the somewhere big, I think.
Let's make Morocco better than last year.
Cool. And we've got some guest, actually. You don't know this because you don't know this. But now that you're running the show, we've actually got some guests lined up as well, so the podcast is going to be resumed. So thanks for everybody listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Say goodbye then.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. We haven't come up with a name for the show yet, but me and Harry are going to have another little chat this week about a couple of little things that's happening. How are you doing, Harry? How was your week?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, mate. All good.
Busy as ever?
Yeah, standard here, there and everywhere.
What's going on in the golf world this week, my man?
Well, things are quieting down. Mm-hmm. We're teaching now. I've got to do some proper work.
Proper work?
Yeah, proper work now. I can't just travel around and claim it's work. Yeah. So I'm here. I'm back at Parley, back grafting.
And imagine coming back from Morocco and it's absolutely peeing down all day, every day.
Yeah.
My road was like a river last night.
Winter's here, isn't it? Winter's certainly.
Yep, a few golf courses there. Shut already overnight. That's the problem, isn't it? You come out of a little dry spell and all the ground's really hard and all of a sudden it chucks it down, everything floods and then...
Well, the rain we've had for the last 24 hours plus has been pretty gross down here though, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And it hasn't stopped either. I think we've got another storm coming today.
Well, at least it's not a long winter over here. At least it's only sort of like September till March, isn't it? So at least, yeah. Okay, so well, with that in mind, then it is a long winter, isn't it? And then, you know, people should they like double down on their technique and try and improve their golf over the winter period, do you think? Or do you think they should do it when it's golf season? What's a smart move?
Golfers go two ways, don't they, in winter? Mm-hmm. You get half of them that chuck their clubs in the shed.
Yeah.
And that's it, golf is nowhere to be seen for the winter. And then you get the other guys that go and graft. Mm-hmm. And they're at the range, they're practicing. And it depends what you want to do, doesn't it? Do you want to improve over the winter and play better golf next year, or turn up next year and hope for the best?
Do you think, like a lot of people say to me, that have gone through a tough time with their golf, and it comes to this time of year, they make a decision that they want to do a swing rebuild. And they're like, I want to start again. I want to rip it up and I want to start from scratch. I want the basics to be down and then I want a complete swing rebuild. Do you get some students like that, or are you getting more people that are here for a quick fix?
I think it depends on time of year, and like my coaching methods change. Mm-hmm. So summertime is very much quicker fixes,
yep,
because people are playing golf. Yeah. The worst thing you want is a grip change that takes 3 months to get used to in the summer, because they won't do it, they spend the money, it's a waste of time, and you know they're not going to do it because they're not grafting. Obviously what you'll find is probably the same as your clients. You'll have a lesson and they'll play golf on the course straight away, and they go straight back to bad habits. Mm. At least in the winter, is they can't do that because it's too wet, the course is shut, it's too cold, it's too dark. So they're actually going to the range to practice what you're working on. So my methods of the summer have always been quicker fixes. Let's get you playing better golf now, and let's not really worry about what it looks like. Mm. Then it's the winter plan of, right, let's really make some bigger changes and let's graft.
Interesting what you say about the grip. Like, so for me, I've been teaching golf for like 20 years now. I know no one believes that because I look like I'm 21. I know no one believes that, but like unbelievably, I've been coaching golf for 20 years. And I used to be like, I really wanted everybody to have grip it really well. Like I wanted
everyone.
I was a grip man. Yeah, and I'm still a grip man from a sense of that. It does play an influential factor in the technique. Some people's technique's really, really wild. Like a wild grip is a nice little matchup, and then all of a sudden you stick to your rule of I want everybody to grip it well. They get worse. Mm-hmm. And what you said a second ago about, now's maybe not time to change the grip, so it's going to take 3 months to bed it in. For me, I only tend to change somebody's grip now when I know it's going to have immediate effect.
Yeah.
And I know some golf coaches that don't change grip at all. And but, you know, I also think those golf coaches are... I'm not going to say. I think it would be foolish to neglect it fully.
I'll be honest with you, though, I don't change grip.
Ever?
No.
What, never? What if somebody's, like, really, really weak and they fan it open?
Then you can manoeuvre that with your hands.
Can you
manoeuvre it? Yeah, I'm a manoeuvring man.
Have you never, like, no, no.
Right, no, because okay, I just know that my grip was... Someone tried to change my grip when I was younger. I'm extremely strong. I can't do it. I just physically can't do it.
Your grip is strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you match up the face.
I am strong as well. Like,
you are a unit.
I'm like big, strong.
You are massive. Like, what are you like, 6'1"?
I'm not 6'8" now.
Right.
Yeah. No, I'm not a grip man. I quite unique grips. I mean, I know golfers that are, say, category one single figure golfers, they hold it the wrong way around. The old cat-handed grip.
I do know those golfers as well. I've met a few of them and I've coached a couple of them, and the cat-handed ones, they seem to struggle with bunker shots. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get a chip in though.
Do you, in a bunker shot, do you teach people to like fan the face open?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. And
actually, what happens when they grip it like crazy strong?
Yeah, you can still do it.
You can still do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think a lot of guys will prefer to get the manoeuvring rather than holding something that feels awful.
Yeah.
Because that's the comfort point of a golf swing. I think when you stand there, if it doesn't feel right in your hands, you can't hit it. Like, even I've tried those big chunky grips at Bryson.
Yes.
Dyson's got them as well, and I laugh at him every time.
Yeah.
I can't get my hands around it.
And no.
I couldn't play golf like that.
I had a go with those, and I'm a small guy. I'm a small guy, and I had a go with those jumbo Bryson things, and I picked it up and thought, wow, this feels wild. I was unreal with it.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It worked.
Unreal. Yeah. Well, like my technique, I get a little bit flippy,
and
I actually felt like I took my hands out of it a little bit more.
Spot on.
And for me, I actually get it way better, so I actually might do that. When I end up owning a set of golf clubs again, I'm tempted
you
to go
biggest
bigger.
Ones. Yeah. I've gone bigger. I go mid-sized, don't I, for the same reason. But I still think I could go a bit bigger, but not to the full extent of the bloody super strokes on your irons. That's not the one.
Yeah. Do you know when you change your grip at home, that, or you just get it changed, it affects the swing weight? So sometimes when people are, depending on what kind of clubs they've got, if they've got like... kind of like a light head, small headed but light head, heavy shaft, so you don't feel the weight in the head anyway, and then you chuck like a big massive jumbo with three layers of tape on it, and the swing weight goes to pot.
Yep.
That's wild, isn't it?
It's mad, but that's people don't know that, and that's obviously when it comes to cheap grips and proper grips, and there's more to it than they'll do. Like you said, it does throw everything off.
I did a tour of the Ping Factory years ago, to get some PGA CBD points. CBD? CBD.
CBD now, like.
Career development points, which was cool. I went up there for a club fitting. I went there to get a new set of irons, and I came back with a new driver, new fairway wood, new wedges, new putter, new tour bag with my name on and no irons, because I couldn't hit any of them. Anyway, point being, I went to the bit where they build the clubs, and they were talking about the swing weights and stuff and how it's affected with the different grips and stuff and what have you. And if you think of like the old classic ping irons that have like G10, G20, there's like a little weight. All those weights are different if it's an 8 or a 7 iron. And then when it's custom fitted and somebody says, right, I want a multi-compound mid-size grip on it, they'll put the grip on and then they change the swing weight afterwards. And they change that weight and they inject extra little bits of like stuff into it. I don't know what they put in there. They inject stuff into the head and you can't physically take it out of the machine that makes the club until the swing weight is bang on. I was mega impressed with that.
Clever, isn't it?
And yet sometimes you get clubs come back from certain manufacturers, like you've ordered a set of clubs in from and the clubs are on sideways. What's that about?
Yeah.
And the ferrule's halfway up the shaft.
Yeah, the grips on sideways is the one with me.
Yeah, who did that? It's a Friday afternoon job. Friday afternoon staff night out. I'm going to go down the pub at 3 o'clock. Oh, we've got to get these sent out. 2:30. You could do those, Darren. Yeah.
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolute mental.
What are we talking about? Oh, yeah, like winter development. Yeah, so like winter development. I think it's a good time, isn't it? When somebody said to me, I want you to rebuild my swing, it's very hard to rebuild somebody's swing because they've got so many things kind of ingrained in there. I think what they want is they want to have a better understanding of their own technique, and they want their swing to look pretty. They want it to be efficient. They want that. They want to lose their over the top. They want to lose their like stuck underneath, flippy kind of action. They just want to get control over it. So they say rebuild because they want to start it from again. But it's so hard to do. Like you can find... Do you find that when you get like a beginner, like blank canvas, that you're able to make their swings look quite effective from the start, having...
Over time, I think everyone has their unique movements, though. Even if you're a beginner or you've been playing golf years and years, that's just the movement that you have. Almost like when you throw something, when you play other sports, it's just your natural movement. And like, as you said, with the rebuilds, you can't rebuild anything. You can change positions, but there's no such thing as a rebuild. As you said, I think it's the visual of what golfers want. Yeah. And I think the important thing there is it gives them a purpose to practice over the winter. Because otherwise, if they just come and hit golf balls for the sake of hitting balls, they lose interest. And that's why no one comes in the winter. So you'll find the guys that do come, it's swing work.
Yeah.
There's a focus element in there. And it's the consistency side, isn't it? They do want the path on a better line each time, the face doing what it should be doing, rather than the erratic, you know, golf shots that come out of nowhere. And that's what they're looking to get rid of.
Yeah. There's a market for quick fix lessons, isn't there, as well? Like, I think when some people only have lessons when they are in crisis mode, like they're shanking it sideways or they've got a big slice, they can't find the fairway, and then that's when they have their lesson. And I'd say most golf pros are very good at delivering that quick fix lesson because there's a simple science behind why your ball does what it does.
Yeah.
You have your half an hour, 45 hour, however long that lesson is, hopefully to good success. And then that means that somebody can go off and play and then hopefully be reasonable again. That to me never, that's always like a quick kind of solution to enjoy the next few games until something goes wrong again.
And the same problem will go wrong again.
Yeah, it tends to, doesn't it? People do forget, don't they? People kind of forget the thing. And so I think there's for certain people that little winter period of like trying to ingrain some really, really good habits over that period of time is a really, really good time to do it, even if you can't test it out on the golf course. I think just in terms of what's vital to do like during this period as well, like most of these ranges have top tracer ranges, just try and make your practice fun as well, isn't it? Yeah, so if you're going to drill and try and change your technique loads, just dividing up that basket of balls into, say, 10 warm-up balls, 20 technique balls, 20 hit into targets, another 20 to focus on, you know, various distances and stuff and what have you.
Yeah, absolutely. I say to my guys to bring less clubs with you when you practice. You know, today I'm going to focus on long irons.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on short. Today I'm going to focus on this. And then it removes the temptation of smashing driver for 100 balls because it's slightly downwind and you think you can beat the longest drive. And then your practice has gone out the window.
Yeah.
So it's that go in with a plan like you would do at the gym. You go to the gym with a plan in mind. What are you going to train today? This is what I'm going to focus on. Tomorrow I'm going to do X. Next day I'm going to do Y. And that's what it should be in practice element.
I think I know your favourite machine in the gym.
the beer vending machine. Yes, at the bar. So I'm a member of the village. Yeah, I think I've been in the bar more than I have done the actual gym. So
have you been training a bit recently? You've been doing some gym stuff.
I've been doing a lot of boxing work, haven't I?
Yeah,
boxing work. So yeah, when a client of mine runs a PT studio, which he's been working hard with me. I've got a big winter plan.
Have you?
On my fitness, yes.
Give me a glimpse. What's going to happen?
Boxing training's a big one. I love boxing training.
Yeah.
I just love smashing the crap out of things. It's great.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm the most chilled out man ever. You're very chill. But are you?
I think it's like the build up is the good release source. I used to play football. Yeah. And I was goalkeeper, believe it or not. Obviously the world's smallest. But I used to scream for 90 minutes. So I was the loudest bloke there. And you'd look at me to go like, that's not Harry. Because I'm so tame.
Into a different thing.
I'm like an animal on a pitch. Yeah. Mm. So weird. Head goes. So angry, I'm punching posts and headbutting and things, and yeah, it's bonkers, but it's a good release.
Why were you getting angry? Were you getting angry because you wanted to win? Or
I think it's just you get, I mean, I know so many players, same as myself, on a football pitch that you just change. Like, you want to win. I'm not angry at other people at all, but it's that element of you want to do well, and I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's just something comes over me. It's like a different human. So for the gym, I think it's good that I can release that. I don't enjoy fitness at all. I mean, running on the treadmill and things, I couldn't run 100 yards because I get bored. But the boxing side's good, so obviously I like my beer.
Do you feel like once you've done a load of like boxing training that you might want to like test that out in a ring with somebody?
I think then we'll line up the pay-per-view fight for Harry Shaw versus Neil Williams.
Yeah, because he's a different weight category to you.
Sorry, Neil. I still have you. No, I couldn't think of anything worse than actually going into one of those charity boxing events. I'd like to do the training because I think it'd be great, but
I'd like to.
I just think that I'd go up in a fight against someone that's properly good. Obviously, I'm pretty small, so I'd get someone really fit and energetic and someone that's probably wants to beat the crap out of me. And I don't think I'd enjoy that.
No, everybody wouldn't. Okay. So you're going to do that over the winter.
Yeah,
so you're going to do a bit of that and then. What's your reason for doing it? Because I think most people, like when they obviously got into like a fitness regime over the winter, let's say they've got a specific plan of trying to improve their golf.
Yeah.
Then that's a good idea. Like to have something focused, isn't it? People get put off the gym very, very quickly, or any kind of fitness training or any kind of diet really, really quick when they don't have like any kind of end goal or interim goals, like little small goals that are very tip-offable and stuff and whatever. So what's the thing that's kind of making you focused on that?
There's a few factors. I mean, obviously I put on a lot of weight a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had the video footage come through from when I was on the telly and I hated the way I looked. Right. I just didn't, that was like, oh, wow, like, this is bad. And that just gave me a kick up the arse of going to train and stop drinking for about 6-7 months, which was amazing. Obviously beer started to come back into my life as a social now.
Yeah.
It actually does, which is fine. But there's got to be that balance. So I think that the weight issue is there. I don't want to pile the pounds on again. I am getting older. My body is definitely not what it used to be when you're
Do you feel it now? Do you notice it? Like you're 30, yeah?
I'm 30 now, yeah. No, I don't, mentally I'm still like teenager.
Yeah, but do you think, oh, my body's getting, like I'm 43, yeah. I feel the same.
Yeah, you're fine. You're pretty fit though, aren't you?
I am pretty fit. But like, I don't, like, everyone's dying, aren't they? Do you know what I mean now? Like, everyone's just like, but like, everyone's like.
No, mentally, no, I don't feel any older. I think there's a few times, like, I couldn't play 36 holes of golf in a day now.
Right. But I don't think that's because your body would let you down. You've had enough by six anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you've
mentally. Had enough by six. But no, I think there are certain things that I am slowing down a bit. Not to that level of, you know, I'm still fine, I'm still up and about all the time.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the hangovers are horrendous now. That's definitely a bad one.
Is it like a 2-day hangover?
No, sometimes they're longer than that, yeah. They're bad.
Right.
So there are certain things, but no, I don't. And like coming to ages, I look at people, I haven't got a clue how old people are anymore. I think I've lost the ability to know that.
Oh, okay.
As you get older.
Yeah.
But I still think I'm like early 20s and obviously not. Everyone
you look young, though. You do look young.
Nah, everyone says I look really old.
Do they?
Yeah.
Who are these? Don't hang out with these people.
Yeah, I know. Well, one of us is my girlfriend, so that's a good start.
Yeah.
She's terrible as well. She'll listen to this. She'll hear that.
Well, I disagree with you. I think he looks lovely.
Thank you. I'm actually 50. But no, yeah, definitely look-wise. However, yeah, coming back to the question of why golf was one to improve, I wanted to hit the ball further. So I had to work on flexibility and rotation, which is where the boxing training came in.
Yes.
Because it's doing it without noticing. And this year I've hit it so much further.
You've got way better at golf.
Yeah, I've got like, better at golf. Yeah. Hitting it further, which is good.
Yeah. I think that's... I'm going to do some training. Well, I've been doing lots of training anyway. Mm-hmm. So we've played a hatful of times together and stuff and what have you. And then like generally my irons have been pretty good, but just my drivers has been garbage generally.
Driver's been good this year though.
It's been better. Like the last time I played, I was rubbish again. So I just went through a little phase of like, I think last time we spoke, I was having a little purple patch with the driver and it's going well. Everybody on Instagram hits it further than me.
Everyone in the world hits it further than everyone.
Everyone hits it. So like everyone hits it further than me on Instagram, and their handicap's at 25. So that I was just like, it's just like I think I need to maybe hit it further. So everyone's hitting it 300 yards carry.
And the rest now.
More. 320.
It's like 350, and then occasional fours now. Right.
So I don't get me wrong. I have hit it 300 yards before, right? And if I go on the top trace machine, I can hit it 300 yards, yeah? If I put myself on something where it actually tells me how far I hit it, I don't.
Yes.
I've been testing myself out with this launch monitor, and I've been hitting it 265, okay. 275 occasionally carry.
Yeah.
Slightly high spin rate. Admittedly, I don't own a driver. I am hitting a driver, though.
But the driver you've got in the bag is pretty good.
It finds the fairway, but it's very spinny.
Yes.
Yep. It's 3,000 revs of backspin to 3,500 revs of backspin, and my launch angle is like silly.
Yeah.
And I've got it set on 9. I'm going to, when I get new stuff, I'm going to experiment, I think, with the idea of maybe some lower loft.
Yeah.
So I think, because I'm tended to try and feel like I hit a little bit more up, mm-hmm. and I think historically I've always been about like 1 degree down with a driver, yeah. with a fairway finder.
That's about the average.
Average on tour is, I don't think I have that level of speed. And my intent of my driver is to draw it.
Yeah.
And I think that tends to, for a lot of people, move the low point slightly back and then hit slightly up. So I think for me, I think I might experiment with... I used to have when I turned pro, I had a 7 degree driver.
Mm-hmm. I'm 7.5.
Yeah?
That's why yours is 7.5. Mine's 7.5, yeah. I've got the 9 degree crank down by 1.5.
Oh, yeah. Maybe this is why.
So give it a go. I've got low spin as well.
Low spin head.
Low spin head, low loft, low launch shaft.
Mm.
Maybe that's the one for you.
Okay, golf clubs then. What... chunky clubs, like chunky irons and stuff and what have you. Like, I want to get something like chunky and easy to hit. I borrowed some clubs for a little bit. Like I said, I haven't got these. Who doesn't have golf clubs? Who's a golf pro? Who doesn't own
it? There's a lot out there.
Right.
Not needed, though. You don't play much.
Yeah, so. but I keep saying I'm going to play more. And I've played, like, three times this month.
Well, so you've got more time to play now, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm gonna play a little bit more. So I'm gonna get some golf clubs and stuff. I borrowed a set of Titleist irons, which are nice when you hit them well, and they're not very nice when you don't hit them very well.
They look pretty horrible, don't they?
They are like proper players' clubs, and I quite like the wedge and the nine and stuff like that. And then I've hit some good shots with long irons, but it's not very forgiving. And then I borrowed a set of Callaway Maverick irons, which are just like, oh my god, I hit the 8 iron like 190.
But is that not a good thing though?
It's good.
The new clubs now coming to, obviously, the lofts are so much stronger now, aren't mm-hmm. they? That everyone's becoming aware of.
Yeah.
So everyone's thinking, oh, well, your 7 iron's actually your 6 iron and things. But
yeah.
Why would you care?
No.
I'd rather hit an 9 iron than 8 iron in. So I don't
if
care.
If you feel make you feel better about yourself, then why not?
It's more control. Then it's easier. Not? So I like the idea of the lofts.
The argument to that is that... some people are like, oh, yeah, but it's not really a 7, it's a 5. Some people will say that. Okay, well, that's fine. And then they will say you're not going to create enough backspin out of those, and which is quite true. You might not. But these clubs, they are so powerful. Like, I've measured mine. I'm very low spin with irons when they're big, chunky ones. But the ball does drop out of the sky. And so you can control it into a green with descent angle, not spin.
Yeah.
So imagine dropping a ball into a car park. Mm-hmm. Good luck stopping it. But if you stop it from vertically, it'll be pretty good.
Yeah.
If you're coming in too low, then, yeah, I would argue a bit of extra spin might be quite useful. Mm-hmm. But then, I don't know. I think maybe something like for me, who's more of an occasional golfer, golf pro, something that's sort of in between, like a proper players club and a big chunky, mm-hmm. like... tennis racket type thing, Joe?
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, yeah, there's loads of options out there. I mean, I think the risk you run with those bigger clubs, as you said, is the flyers mm-hmm. that you occasionally get, obviously, when you just catch it, a little bit of grass or a little bit of water in between the ball, and it absolutely flies. But
everyone feels good about that. Because then you tell your pals, like, oh, I hit 9-iron from 170, and then I airmailed the green by 20 yards. Okay, you made a 7.
It's not good when you got to play another one, and you're chipping out of a bush and things. Yeah. So it just happens occasionally. So I used the Cobra Forge Tech last year, and I loved it. Mm. I hit the miles. But there was a few occasions, and especially when I went abroad, I found in your Portugals and your Spains, when you're teed up on that kind of fluffy grass, I just didn't know what to hit, because it just goes.
Most people don't analyse that shot, do they? Mm. So if you're in like the semi, and there's a little bit of grass stuck in between the ball and the face, that's what some people call like a flying line.
Yeah.
And all that is there's a sort of less spin on the off ball when that gets in the way, and you can obviously smash it quite a long way as
the
well.
The grooves don't do what they do, what they're meant to do. To that. If you hit a golf shot with a bit of plastic over the face, there'll be no spin over there, and it just absolutely
So have you ever done that where you've got the tape on the face and stuff and what have you, and then people actually hit it better with the tape? Do you ever use one of those lie boards?
It's the lie boards and impact the tape board, on it. Yeah, you could fix that so much.
If you don't know what that is, so sometimes when you go for a custom fit somewhere, you get like a little plastic board, which looks a little bit like a dinner tray, and you hit the ball off of it. And if you analyse that in slow motion, when you hit off this plastic tray, the ball just jumps slightly. And as it jumps, it hits like slightly different part of the face, and it launches differently, and it just goes miles.
Yeah.
And everyone hits it better off that.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Absolutely great, isn't it? But no, club-wise, I mean, we've had some good clubs this year. I think, think the manufacturer's done very well, so it'll be interesting to see what's on the horizon for next year. Mm. Obviously, with TaylorMade, Cobra, Callaway all releasing new gear, February, March.
Yep.
And then Ping's staying as it is, Strixon staying as it is, Titleist staying as it is. They've just released their new ones, haven't they? Haven't tried them yet, but a lot of good reviews.
Yep, I've had a few hits with those. I've been pretty impressed with... But typically, they're all good, aren't they? They are all good. I think... What's been your favourite sort of 3-irons of this year? Well, maybe not your favourite, but what's been good for like most golfers? Let's say poor to half-decent golfers.
Yeah, I mean, I could be slightly biased here because obviously I've made the move to Strixon this year. They've obviously helped me out massively. The reason I'd be biased for them is just their model that they've got. So they've got 3 irons out there. They've got the 7s, the 5s and the 4s. Mm-hmm. So they're all forged though. So... The 7s are the so-called one. You've got the blades, but the 7s are the so-called better playing. You've got the 5s, which are the high end. The 4s are the high end, and the 5s are the ones in the middle. So you fit every category of golfer. But the heads are the same.
Yeah.
So you get the forge feeling. You can manoeuvre them. You get the same procedure, and you can also have a combo set as well then. Mm. So it makes it easier for golfers. And that's what I really like about it, because a higher handicapper could have the same feel and shape as a lower handicapper.
Yeah.
But the heads are just obviously a little bit more forgiving. Mm. When a lot of other brands out there, it's blades are forged, they're next level, forged and soft, and then you go straight to a cast, clunky metal.
Mm.
There's no in between. And that's what I really liked about Strixon.
Yeah.
I think it's a massive selling point. It's been great. Obviously, in the studio here, yes, it helps that I've been using them.
Mm.
But also the guys that are using Strixon on the tour have been pretty good, haven't they? I mean, they've had a lot of wins this year, the Strixon guys.
They're super big in Asia as well, aren't they?
Yeah. Really good. So they're definitely my favourite by a mile, and I talk a lot to my clients that have hit them. That said, the Cobras are still great.
Yep.
Obviously, we got the Forge Tech, I think, are probably the best cavity irons out there by a mile, just because of the look and the feel.
They do cool.
And they do fly.
I've been a big fan of the P770.
Yeah.
P790 TaylorMade.
So they're not far off of the Cobras.
Very, very similar, aren't they? And that's very, very similar. Well, I've tested the two together, actually. So, and... like I say, I hit a lot of them the same, but I hit them very, very similar, like in terms of like the results of those. But they're so powerful.
Yeah.
All I would say is, like, particularly with those TaylorMade ones and the P770s, I saw a massive difference with the shafts of people. And what they do a really good job of is labeling what they're supposed to do in terms of like their mid trajectory, high trajectory, low trajectory. And where sometimes it's not as noticeable, like you look at the ball speed, look at the trajectory, look at what the miss is, and you might say, right, well, you're going to be stiff because you're in that category and your miss is left, so you might go a bit stiffer. And then actually, those shafts actually do make a little bit of a difference in the trajectory of people's ball flight. So I was quite impressed with that. Like, my thoughts this year in terms of what's performed really well is the Ping stuff.
Yeah.
For most golfers, that G430i has been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So easy to hit, goes miles. So easy to hit, goes miles. What more do you want? long. It's quite a long, like, looking face. It's like massive.
Ping have always had a unique look.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of how they look, are you?
I'm not a huge lover of it all, but based on stats and reviews, Ping are always there.
So, what would you recommend then to a golfer that comes in and he's like, I'm looking at bladey style golf clubs, and you can kind of tell that that's probably not going to suit him? It's a difficult conversation, so I'll let you know what I've done before in the past. I would be like, okay, well, you can absolutely get these if you makes you feel good about yourself and owning them. I think that's fine. But I actually think if you do value your performance, then I would maybe get you to try something else. I know some people would be very like, you can't hit them, you're not having them, I'm not even going to sell them to you. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think for some people, it's just like, I just really want them.
Yeah. I just really want them. I was that guy for a long time. Up until 2 years ago, I was blades. Yeah. I used to have the gold Ricky Fowlers, didn't I?
Yeah.
In the bag. And I loved them, and I just wanted them because they looked cool. But they were so hard to hit.
Yeah.
They really were. But
I don't know.
You get guys that just want blades, and I think fair play. Mm. At the end of the day, the middle is the same size on every single club.
Sure.
Obviously, it's the surroundings that's slightly different on the cavity backs. So, some guys have the opinion there that if they have blades, it will improve their game. Mm. And I think you're right, because you have to strike it.
Yeah.
So, definitely do improve on that one. Obviously, it's going to take a little bit longer to get there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of golfers are brainwashed into these magazines and advertisements of better golfers have to use this.
Yes.
And I think that's the biggest con of golf, of this is a high handicap club, this is a low handicap club. A load of rubbish.
I agree with that.
Use a golf club that you like, the golf club.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that comment, oh, you can't use them, you're too good for them, you can't use them, you're not good enough. And it's, well, why? It's a golf club. Mm-hmm. You do what you want to do with it. I would definitely, if somebody came in wanting blades, crack on, have blades.
Okay.
I'd make the suggestion that maybe you hit these further or a little bit more consistent, but if that's what they want, crack on.
Yeah, it might be like, if you said, have you considered trying some other ones, and they say no, it might be like, oh, okay.
Well, okay, crack on with it. And I would never tell somebody what clubs to buy. I think you can go into fittings going, oh, I love the TaylorMade, and then they come out with Mizunos. I've had a few guys, and they've gone, I don't really want them.
Mm.
And I think, well, why have you bought them?
Yeah.
Why? Like, yes, the stats may have said you're great, but you're going to go home and go, nah, I don't really like them.
I think there's something in that. Is there something in the fact that you've got to really like what you've bought, particularly when they're so expensive as well now? Like, I think some people, just having done quite a lot of club fitting in the last few years, have go in with a, I really want to try these out and only try them.
Yeah.
And once they've got, they think, yeah, that's an improvement on what they've got as well. So yeah, great, cool. How often should somebody change their driver? If you've got a stealth driver, should you get the stealth too?
Mad, this one, isn't it? What do you reckon? I think 5 years.
Five? Oh, wow.
5 years, I think I don't think you'll see any difference in the last 3 years. I don't think so.
Do you know what I think? I think there's been a massive difference in the quality of the fairway woods this year.
Okay.
So I think they are far superior than fairway woods of about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've improved hugely, and some of the hybrid clubs. I think the facelift versions of irons is quite minimal, for sure.
Yeah.
But like driver, I think you're right, in as much that perhaps the difference between like a stealth 1 driver and a stealth 2 driver is not much big. I think there was quite a big difference between the 425 and the 430.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded way different, and the performance of that was definitely better.
Yeah.
But I think you might be right in terms of that time frame. I didn't think 5, I thought 3.
Mm-hmm.
I thought every 3 years, because I think that sort of skips one. That skips a generation, doesn't it? Like, if
I think it depends on what brand.
Yeah.
Because we look at, again, if we look at the Cobra, the Callaways, the TaylorMades, it's a new driver every year. So obviously, that your Pings and your Titleist, they have a new driver every 18 months, 2 years. So suddenly, all of a sudden, you know, you're skipping in Titleist element, you're skipping one model, two models, when a TaylorMade, you could be skipping 5 models in that time frame.
Do you know what, maybe it's an important question? It's maybe a better question is, how often should you change your golf bag? Because if you don't change your golf bag very often, you wear through the shaft of your driver, and you have to get a new driver every year.
The shaft element's, I think, the big one.
Because if they wear that out, it's just so expensive to get new shafts, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then if you don't get the same one, you're guessing it. Some people buy a shaft off of eBay and think, oh, that looks pretty, I'll stick that in there, and it's garbage. And it's...
People need more ideas on shafts.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the shaft that does the work. Mm-hmm. The head actually doesn't really make much difference. Obviously, the size of the head is going to, mm-hmm. so using a driver that's 10, 15 years old isn't going to work as well.
Sure.
But if you get the right shaft in it, that's what's going to help. Mm. You get the right spin, you get the right flex, you get the right kick point. And that's what people don't look at.
Yeah.
And that that's why I think when you do get a new driver every year, sometimes the shaft's just better for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shafts change every year. Yeah. They have different models, yeah, different designs, different options there. So I think that's the big one of looking at shafts.
Mm.
Our swings change every year,
yeah,
where we do get older, mm, injuries crop in, or we go the other way and we get fitter.
Mm.
I've gone from a stiff to an extra stiff this year,
oh,
from that. But just because I've hit it better.
Mm.
And that's something I never would have looked at.
Yeah.
So it's little things like that, I think, that golfers need to consider rather than, yeah, new driver, I'll hit it further.
Mm.
Have a look at your shaft.
Interesting. Yeah, a lot of the big brands are quite good at making their sort of standard generic shaft is quite good for most of the market, isn't it?
Some usually three options now, isn't there?
Yeah.
For each flex, which is good. Normally it was just one fits all, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And like I say, most of them are generally quite good for most people, aren't they? But then, yeah, it's interesting when you try out a few different ones. Going back to when I went to Ping, for example, when I went and to get the iron fit in, they were like, Dave, you don't hit any of these irons any better. Just keep your ones. I'm like, oh, I really want a new set. But then I did come away with a new driver fairway wood and the hybrid and the wedges and bag and stuff. They said to me, what's your miss? And my miss was always left, high hook.
Mm-hmm.
And my ball speed, although it was reasonable, was probably not quite enough for X.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave me X as an extra stiff. They gave me extra stiff based on my miss.
Yep.
And I missed it less left based on the shaft flex, which is interesting because most people just look at ball speed and say, right, your ball speed is 165, so we'll go X.
Yeah.
But actually, it does actually influence the rate of closure of face and
mm-hmm.
can actually influence your ability to find the target as well.
Yeah, it's a lot cool. more to it, isn't there? A lot more, which is bonkers. Mm. It's not all about swing speed.
Yeah. Solheim Cup this week.
Yes, Solheim Cup. The ladies are in action.
Yeah.
Which is great. And then the Ryder Cup afterwards. It's 2 weeks of good golf, isn't it?
That's good. Is it always back-to-back like that?
I don't remember
it being like that.
No.
I don't remember it being back-to-back. That's really, really cool.
All of Europe as well.
All of Europe?
Well, it's all in Europe, isn't it? Because the ladies are in Spain and the men are in Italy.
Yeah, so I could have gone, actually.
Yeah.
I could have gone to Rome and then I gave my ticket up.
Terrible.
Oh, that would have been good, wouldn't it?
Would you want to go to the Ryder Cup?
Well, that's a very, very good question. I've been before, actually.
Okay.
I went to the one at Belfry.
Yes.
And you see so much more on TV, don't you? It's just like, it's a TV event.
This is it. I go to the BMW every year, I get to live at Centurion mm-hmm. every year, and you've got good visuals.
Mm-hmm.
However, you walk around the McIlroy group, a Rahm group, you can't see anything.
Yeah.
And this is tee times from 6:30 to 2:30 in three balls around a full golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Ryder Cup, 8 groups, 10 groups, with 4 times the amount of people watching.
Yeah.
Surely you can't see anything.
Yeah, I think it's a shame because you hear a roar on the course somewhere and you think, oh, what happened there?
Yeah, you don't know what's going on.
It's such a good thing for you to be watching on TV, isn't it? Then
you can see it all, you know who's doing what and you get the full coverage. And I think, obviously, the atmosphere is what people go for to be there. I get it. But from a visual, I just don't think I'd want to go.
I think it'd be good to go for one day, but not the Sunday, so that you watch the Sunday on the TV. And then so you get to see it all kind of unfold then, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll have it on the telly. Have the ladies on the telly this week. Be good. Hopefully we can do the double. That'd be good.
Yeah, would be. Cool, man. Good chat.
Excited for next year's gear. I've seen no snippets of anything yet, so I'm quite excited. I know we're quite early at the moment, but
it seems like all the stuff's only just come out again, and it won't be very long, and there'll be new stuff again.
Well, February, isn't it? February will come
out. I don't. People take offence to that, don't they? It's just like, oh, these manufacturers are always bringing out new stuff. Like, that's kind of exciting. I quite like it when they bring out new stuff.
I like the little glimpses you get on social media going, oh, this is coming, that's coming. I like it.
I'd quite like somebody to do something a bit more wild. Like, just something that's a bit like, oh, how dare you?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I just don't think they do anymore, do they?
Yeah, just, I think, something a bit different. I come up with an idea for some clubs. And you know, like you've got 60, you've got 56, you've got 58, you've got 52. Why not have like a 30 and a 24 and just have like all your lofts written on the irons?
Well, the irons should no longer have numbers on.
Yeah,
they should
just
have
the lofts on
it. Every club should have lofts.
Yeah.
Because we're gone of the days of a 7-iron, a 6-iron
because every club has different
numbers.
I think I get it why manufacturers do it because they go, well, 7-iron goes this far. But if they just put the lofts on them, I don't think it would take too long for people to learn that, would it?
Not at all.
Going to hit my 24 here.
I think it would make them realise the gaps at the lower end of the bag, and this is where golfers struggle from that 100-yard mark because they have a pitching wedge and then a sand wedge, which a pitching wedge is like 42 degrees now, and their sand wedge is 56.
Guess what? I had somebody the other day. I really hope they're not listening. So he got a 48, right? And a 50.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50 goes like 90. 48 goes like 95. 251. It might not have been that close. It might have been like a 10-yard gap. But then I kind of like, I measured them and they were kind of hitting them the same distance.
Same thing.
Yeah. Same distance. People's launch angle really fluctuates and their angle of approach really, really fluctuates. And 1 minute it goes 105, 1 minute it goes 95.
Yeah.
And the differences in the fluctuation of that loft delivery can be up to like 10 degrees sometimes, isn't it, in wedges. And then that has such a massive impact in terms of like what loft they deliver. I would say you have less wedges. Definitely have more clubs down the bottom end because those are your scoring clubs rather than having a million hybrids that all do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I think spread them out. How many is optimum? 4 degree gaps?
Four is about 10 yards, isn't it?
Yeah, and if your ball speed's way less, you might have even bigger gaps. Yeah, yeah, so, I agree.
Your 12-degree gap from pitching wedge to sound wedge is not the one. That's three clubs.
Yeah.
Imagine taking three clubs out back.
I'll be lighter, wouldn't it?
So, but you, imagine you stand there, you're going to hit a 5-iron or an 8-iron.
Oh.
But that's what it is between a pitching wedge and a sound wedge now.
Is it?
It's 12 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Three clubs. So take 6, 7, 8-iron out. So that's your 5-iron to 9-iron.
Hmm.
So imagine standing there on a par 3 going, right, I can hit my 9-iron or 5-iron.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what golfers don't know. They don't understand this.
God, that's wild. I never thought about it like that.
Mental, isn't it? That's your options down at 100 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Wedges. Cool. Wedges are key.
Wedges are key. Right, peeps. Harry, you close the show.
Oh, I don't know. It's pressure now, isn't it?
Well, no, you're just saying thanks for listening.
This is it. Thrown in at deep ends. No, Dave, pleasure as always. Always pleasure. We need to rename our show. So right. Whoever does listen to us.
Wait. Hold on. Last time I said it, that it was no longer my show and then it became our show. And then you said, no, it's your show.
It's everyone's
show. So whose show is it?
Neil Williams' show.
Come on, let's get him on, Neil.
The Neil Williams show.
The Neil Williams show. No,
we need a name. Send us a message of some names.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll give a little prize for somebody that chooses the best name.
Let's whack that on Instagram.
A little giveaway. Name our show.
Yeah.
Nothing horrible. Be nice to us. No, Dave, pleasure as always. We're back to work, back to the grind.
Yeah, I'm having a coffee, I think.
More coffee, more golf, Samhain Cup.
Happy golfing, everyone.